Well, aren't you glad you made it this morning? Do we know why we made it this morning? If it weren't for the Lord, there's not a one of us would be here today. Number one, we wouldn't have the strength to get here. Number two, we wouldn't have any desire to be here. I'm glad I have a desire to come in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ on what God's done for us. I ask you if we're going to... This is a lesson this morning that don't have any particular headline, I reckon you might say. We're just some general conversation this morning. Just some general thinking this morning. I guess if I was going to title the lesson, I'd say Lost and Found. I want you to think about that for just a moment. And how do you know you're lost? Just a few things I want to look at and think about this morning. We will begin in the book of Romans in chapter number 3 and ask you to bow with us in just a quick word of prayer. Lord, we again come to you today realizing that within ourselves we can do nothing. And so thankful, Lord, for the nation that you've allowed us to be born in. A nation of freedom. And Lord, a nation that was established on a belief in you that has strayed so far away. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us as a nation to look back and see the reason that we have obtained those blessings. And Lord, see how far we've come away from that one who has blessed us to be the nation we are. Lord, I'd ask that we'd do a turnaround. Lord, that we would look to you, depend on you, and trust in you, and realize that without your blessings, we're lost and undone. Lord, I thank you for your saving grace. I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. I thank you for a place to come and worship, and for brothers and sisters in Christ. And the love that we share for each other as we walk through life's journey. I ask you now as we gather, Lord, that you would open the precious word to us, and open your mind, our mind and our hearts to you and to your word. We'd grow in the knowledge of you this day. Thank you again for all the blessings of life, and be with those who have those special needs this day. And Lord, we'd ask that you would work your will, and we know that you will in their lives, but just make us acceptable to it. Bless now in these services today. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. How many of you have ever been lost? You know, if I were to say, let's look at it two ways. We're all lost to start with when we look at it on the spiritual side. But on the physical side, ask the question, how many of us have ever been lost? And I wonder if many of us who say we have been lost on the physical side were really what we consider lost. You might have been out of place. A lot of times it's when we're riding an automobile. We're going somewhere and we miss a turn. You always, of course nowadays you push a button. If you don't listen, then it's your own fault. But I remember back in the olden times when you had the map and you had to look at that thing and figure out your route and all those things. But, you know, you can always turn around and go back. Start again, so to speak. let's go around this block again. If you're somewhere and you're looking for a doctor's office or someone, and you don't know exactly where the office is at, and she's on the third floor, and you come in on the first floor, and you look at the directory, and you go up, and you get off on the third floor where they said it was. You're looking around all over everywhere trying to figure out which one of all these rooms is your doctor in. And somebody might come along and say, can I help you? And they tell you exactly where to go. Or there's another director to tell you where to go. But you know, are you really lost at that point? You're just misplaced, is the way I look at it. Because I can remember Mitchell and myself, you know, if you're coming from the south, you come across a little place called Black Creek down here right below the church. Well, when we grew up, the central focus of your community was the church and the country store with the wood heater and the chairs around it. Well, everybody just about, you know, we came to church, Benson Grove, across the road, and all our friends were over here. We called it on this side of the creek. So Mitchell and me, we'd just leave home. We'd walk through the creek. Had us a path through the creek. They had logged some woods, and there's a log path there. Of course, they had woods had grown up pretty good, but that path was pretty good, and we trailed that thing. I mean, we came back and forth so much. You know, Francis lived over here in his house, so. I reckon that's incentive maybe a little more, you know. But we walked back and forth, and we literally had a trail. If you went to Black Creek, people fished in Black Creek, and when you walked up and down the bank, it was almost as clean as this floor is. They trail, boy, you could fish up and down the creek all over everywhere. You didn't have to worry about it. And Mitchell and I have walked that no telling how many times. Well, and Daddy's thing was, boys, and if you said it in that tone, you paid attention, said, boys, now, you be sure you leave and you're back so you can be back here before dark. Because I don't want to have to be worried about you. Well, so we start back one afternoon. And there's an area down that they had cut pretty severely and a lot of broom sage and stuff in it. And that trail was good and clear right through that. I can remember a stump. I can remember that stump for a reason, too. So we come bebopping along pretty you've ever seen. Went by that stump, headed on toward home. And in a little bit, that stump looked familiar. And guess what? We had started doing circles. So we came by that stump and said, now, wait a minute. We know home where it's at, so let's just get on the path and go that way. So we walked a little more, and guess what? A few minutes, there's that stump again. Now, if you've ever really been lost, you can relate to this because your mind goes just totally off the scale. I don't know what it does to you, but your ability to reason is really, really messed up. So we stood there a minute, and because what we had been taught, what we had heard, it's time to apply it now. So stop and get your composure. You're going toward home, and Daddy's at home, and he's told you to be home before dark. Well, right now, I don't know the way home. I'm lost. And the thing that we were taught being raised on a farm is, and it's still there, if I go anywhere on vacation or whatever, one of the first things I do is I say, where's north? And I know where north, south, and east and west is. So that was instilled in us, and I knew where south was, and I knew we were going south to get home. I also knew that 50 Highway is on your right to the west, and you can hear traffic going up and down 50 Highway. So it's time to listen to what you've been taught. And what you've been taught, if you will listen to what you have been taught, that voice in your mind, in your heart, it will get you home. So we stood there a few minutes and got our composure. Thought about what we had heard. And said, if we do what we have been asked to do, that'll get us home. And it did. You and I, if you were saved today, was in that same situation one day. And you didn't realize you was lost until all of a sudden you passed that stump. And you were totally in the dark. Could not figure out how to get out of the situation that you were in. Now, let's look at a few scriptures this morning and think about something. If I have to cut short, I'm going to close on one topic this morning. And every single one of us have one of these that I'm going to mention to you. You just pause and think about that a little bit. Now, let me give you one more scenario. God is your God, whether you believe it or not. Okay? You think about that. It don't make any difference this morning where you and I were in Benson Grove Baptist Church, or where those people riding up and down 50 Highway, or wherever they're at this morning. God is their God, whether they believe it or know it or not. Because He gave them breath and life to get up this morning and do what they're doing. The problem is, in the world we live in today, so many people have no concern about the God that blesses. We are blessed by God to have an opportunity to be in a free country this morning so we can come and do what we're doing right now. And we better take advantage of it while we can, because if things keep going like they're going, one day we won't be able to do this. John and Phil, on their way back from Minnesota from where they've been up to visit Jonathan's family, and they're still having a time. Those people are still out on the sidewalk in front of the church doing their demonstrating, a few of them are. He's still concerned about him and his family's safety. Elizabeth, their older daughter, was going somewhere the other night, and she noticed somebody following her. So she had to make some moves that they have asked her or told her things to do in those situations. Each one of them have a code number, so to speak. And if that code number comes up, then help comes in a hurry. They monitor where they're going all the time. So, you know, we got up this morning and we're worried about it when we come to church. And they get up in the morning and head out the door and don't know what's going to happen. Don't know whether they're going to get to church or not. We're blessed, and we need to think about how blessed we are. Now, I know that if we read, look at John 15, chapter number 15. I want you to look at verse number 5 for just a moment. You don't generally do an introduction to a Sunday school lesson, I don't guess. In John 15, 5, I know we're talking to Christians here, but we can also apply this to something else. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Notice that. Much fruit. In Christ, you and I in Christ, if we have been found, we need to be producing fruit. And it says, for without me, ye can do nothing. That last phrase in that verse, here I know that it is applying to those of us who are saved, who know Christ. But that can apply to every single solitary person that's ever been born. Because without God, they absolutely can do nothing, including live and breathe and exist. Because we're totally dependent on God, whether we realize it or not. Lost or saved, we're still dependent totally on God. So if we go back and we look in the book of Romans in chapter number 3 and verse number 23 that many of us can say by heart, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that puts us in a position. We either are or we have been in this position. Now, if you back up and look in at verse number 10, it says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, if we go over to 2 Corinthians, and we're going somewhere with this, I hope. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? That are lost. Now, we'll give you another story about lost in just a moment that will really identify what it's like to be lost. Now notice it says, but if our gospel, if you're saved this morning, it is your gospel that has been given to you through and by Jesus Christ, the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He said it's our gospel. And he says, if it's hid, it's hid to them that's lost. In whom the God, and notice that is not capitalized as small letters, the God of this world, who's the God of this world? Satan himself. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So what's the problem with the lost world this morning? The problem with the lost world is that they're blinded to who Christ is. They're lost in their sins. They're lost in darkness. Now, he said, it's blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. So it's available. They just can't see it. Now, let me give you another scenario on lost. Goes back to Black Creek again. Mr. Tommy Barnes lived up on Elevation Road, other side of the creek, and he'd come down to the creek to go fishing, like they did so many times. And he got lost. Been in that creek all his life. He's on up in age. And he got lost. And it got dark. And Mr. Tommy hadn't come home. The neighborhood got concerned. Dark now. We'll just have to wait till in the morning and see if we can find him. Now, if you want to figure out what loss is, where is he at? He's in the middle of Black Creek and he's in the darkness with all the mosquitoes and the bugs and the snakes and all those things that roam around in the creek. And he cannot find his way out. He's in darkness. What does it say about you and I? We're born in what? In darkness. And we are lost. Now, he was lost. And when you come to the point like he was, that's even worse than Mitch and I, because we did have a little light left. But he was in total darkness, in a position that he could not help himself. Run whatsoever. If somebody don't come and help me, I'm in great trouble. And remember I said it does something to your mind. I remember walking out and Mitch and me again. We'd come left the bridge here and we'd gone down the creek all the way to the next road, which is Federal Road. Mitch and me and some of the guys in the neighborhood. We got down to the bridge at Federal Road and walked out and said, where in the world are we? And nothing looked familiar. And that's what being lost does to you. The way out, nothing is familiar. You absolutely cannot within yourselves establish a way to get out of it. You're totally lost. Mr. Tommy was lost. Number one, he was in the darkness and he could not see. What have we just read? It says Satan does what? He said he blinds our what? Our mind. It's our inner being that's blinded to who Christ is. And that's where Mr. Tommy was. Well, when light come, naturally, they're looking for him as quick as they could. So they went and found Mr. Tommy. And I won't ever forget what he said. Mr. Tommy, where you been? And he couldn't talk real plain. And he says, I've been yost. Now, I want you to think about what I have just said that he said. I have been lost. But now he was what? He was found. Did he do that on his ability? No, he did not do that on his ability. Because if it had been up to him, he'd have been just like the surveyor was down in the big woods towards Supply, North Carolina, in eastern North Carolina. He was a surveyor. Now, don't you think he knew where north, south, east, and west was? And he went down to look over some of that land, and it's, I'm telling you, you see a house here, and then about 3 or 4 or 5 miles down the road, you might need to see another house. There's some big woods down there. He knows north, south, east, and west. And he's got, I don't know what kind of intimacy he had with us. You would have thought he would have had a compass, at least. But he got lost. And when they finally found him, he was leaned up against a pine tree, deceased. When you are lost, you cannot help yourself out of that situation. And you and I, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of us, have been lost. If you're saved today, at one time you were lost in your sin. And you could do absolutely nothing to help yourself out of that situation. So somebody had to go find you in your lost and undone condition. And God Almighty sent the person of the Holy Spirit to go find you as you wandered around in this world, lost and having no hope. And it drew you to Christ. And this morning, you can say, like Mr. Tommy said, I was lost, but now he has been found, and he's going where? He's going home. He's out of the darkness and out of the creek and on the way home. I'm on the way home because I was found by the precious Holy Spirit of God and saved by His marvelous grace and set on a path that leads home. Mr. Tommy didn't go home by himself. He went home with those that found him. I won't go home by myself either. The Trinity found me. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit found me. The same ones that found me are taking me home. Now, where are we as we live today? Let me read. I'm still going to get that one thing. If I don't get anything else done, I want that one thing to be done because I think that it will do some clarification this morning. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter number 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Can you see any of that now? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, the parents. Boy, we can put a circle around that one. Disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, they hit home well, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, inconsistent, few despisers of those. Let's look at that last phrase, despisers of those that are good. There's no good in us other than Christ. And that's the reason that when we say something about our Lord and Savior, they despise us. Traitors and high-minded and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And in some cases, this applies too. Think about our churches today. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. Look at verse number 7. Ever learning. and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. AI is not going to point you toward Christ. I don't care how much knowledge we have. Most of the time, our knowledge turns us from Christ, not towards Christ. The thing that turned us towards Christ is the Holy Spirit that reveals Christ to us. And as it reveals Christ to us, it shows us who we are and what we are. And then that goes back to where we started. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we see ourselves in that situation. And then we see ourselves lost without hope and no way out. And then we realize that there is a way out. When we hear that small, sweet voice of God. In John, go back to John chapter number 12. I'll get that. And this might be where we are today too. John chapter number 12, verse number 35. Then said Jesus unto them, I wonder if the world is listening to what Christ has to say today. But he's saying this to us today also. Yet a little while is the light with you. The light being Christ himself. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. Mr. Tommy could stumble around in Black Creek down yonder all night long. And just running around and not know where he was going. That's what Mitch and me were doing. We were going round and around. Round and around. Thought we were going somewhere, but going nowhere. Coming back to the same point. And we within ourselves cannot help ourselves in our lost and undone condition. We're just going to go round and around, still in darkness, still in sin. Only one can show us the way out is Christ. Now, here's the thing that every one of us got the day we were born. How many of you got a credit card? Let me put it this way. Is there anybody in here that does not have a credit card? That's smart. Two or three don't have a credit card. I've got one, but I got to call and get it activated, I reckon. But every single solitary one of us, on the day we were born, got a credit card. Those of us say we don't have a credit card, we got one. If you look at your credit card, whose name's on it? If you got one of those credit cards that you can go buy anywhere you want to buy and just do what? Give me the credit card, and it's charged to whose account? Whoever name's on that credit card is who it's charged to, right? Now, who's responsible for the bill? Is there anybody that's going to pay for that credit card bill but you? It's not going to your neighbor's name. It's not going to that address. Everything you charge on that credit card is going to your name. And you're responsible for every charge on that credit card. Well, when you and I were born, we got a credit card. Said Joseph Barry Barber. And where my credit card in my pocket has got Visa written on it and First Citizen Bank, that one has S-I-N. And every sin that you and I commit from the day that we were born. You say, well, I was a baby then. You'd be surprised how many things babies can do. Why do they cry? You see, they start off crying because they are hungry. But then they learn that if I cry, mother and daddy do what? They respond to my crying. So when they get on up in age, well, if I'll just pitch a fit and cry, then I can have my what? I can have my way. So it starts early. It starts real early. So every sin that you and I have ever committed is on the credit card. And there's a payday coming. I want you to think about this. There's a payday coming. Well, when I get my credit card that I got on the day I was born, and I look at my credit card that has all my sins charged to that credit card, I look up in the right-hand corner where it has sins. And on my credit card, there's a long red strip up there. And I can't read sin through that to save my life. And right in the middle of that, it says Jesus. So all my sins have been charged to him because he one day showed me how lost I was. And he showed me that the wages of sin is death. And you're going to pay for all those sins that's charged to that credit card one day, unless you allow me to intervene and save your sorry soul from hell and pay the price so you don't have to go pay the price. So his name is on my credit card to cover my sins. And I don't have to pay for them when I take my last breath, because they are paid for. Because I was lost and didn't know how to get out from under that debt. But he knew how to get me out from under that debt. So he saved me by his marvelous grace. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came and found me where I was at in my indebtedness, into my sin debt to him. And I accepted. I accepted the way out from under that debt, which is only through Christ and his saving grace. I don't have any time. Time's gone. Would you give me just a moment? In the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 6. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a what? Now, I want you to look at something right quick. I said chapter 6, I meant chapter 2 where I need to go. Chapter 2 and verse number 8, he says, listen now carefully. I never looked at it in this perspective before. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace is the unmerited love of God. And faith is something that's granted to you through the work of the Holy Spirit. It brings you faith. He says, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What's not of yourselves? You have no ability. To receive the grace of God. You have no ability to have faith in God unless he does what? Unless he gives it to you. So it's a gift to the rest of the world. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that, what is that? That is grace and faith that is not of yourselves. It is a what? It's a gift of God. So if God didn't give you the ability, you wouldn't receive. I hope you've got the right credit card in your pocket with the right name on it this morning. God bless you, and thank you for being with us in Sunday School Hour.